The postseason is here, and MLB on TuneIn is taking you along for the ride. From the first pitch of the wild card playoffs all the way to the final out of the World Series, this is MLB at the Plate, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Jeff Blum.
Welcome into the MLB at the Plate playoff podcast. Alongside Jeff Blum, I'm Holden Kushner. The Dodgers have punched their ticket to the World Series with an 11-1 blowout win over the Cubs in Game 5 of the National League Championship Series. Jeff and I recap the clincher and preview a potential World Series against the Astros as well as the Yankees. Congratulations, Blummer, to our buddy and co-worker Ned Colletti, who has a big part in building this team, signing Clayton Kershaw, signing Bellinger, Corey Seager, who didn't even play in this series, of course, signing Justin Turner as well. This was one heck of a performance by the Dodgers, just blowing by the Cubs in five games.
It was awesome. Big congratulations to them and everything they did to get to this point and be World Series in the World Series for 2017. It's remarkable. I love the fact that you tweeted out that Ned Colletti, with his book coming out, it's been a big year for him, and we're lucky enough to have the opportunity to work with Ned and hear some of those stories firsthand. But what an honor for him to have, you know, what's lingering of a little bit of a touch on some of these guys that are going to be in that World Series. But remarkable accomplishment for any team to get to the World Series. The Los Angeles Dodgers did it in truly L.A. fashion. Got to go out there and have a superstar that nobody's heard about in a supporting role, and Kike Hernandez lighted up to get him there.
Yeah, just a remarkable performance by the starters, the bullpen, defensively. Guys like Charlie Culberson, who had magic hands in the field. Kike Hernandez, who over the last 2 years, a 200 hitter, a three home run game tonight. The bullpen that threw 17 shutout innings. Yasiel Puig, who's got to be the MVP, right? He's got to be the NLCS MVP.
Did Kike get it in one game?
Yeah, maybe we're rooting for that. But man, Tommy Lasorda, see him. He's behind home plate. It's just amazing that when we were growing up, the Dodgers were one of the powerhouses in Major League Baseball, winning World Series. In 1988, that last time, this is the first time a lot of Dodger fans are going to have the opportunity to have their favorite team in the World Series. Because if you're in your 20s, you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I believe that Clayton Kershaw was just a figment of his parents' imagination.
He was born.
Now he's going to end up pitching in the World Series and pitch the clinching game to get him to the 2017 World Series. So there are quite a few guys on that roster that have no idea what 1988 even looked like. But they've all seen the video of Kirk Gibson hitting that home run against Dennis Eckersley. So the memories are fond. It's great to see Tommy Lasorda there celebrating his 90 years on this planet. And he's the last Dodger to have a ring. It's just great how this is kind of coming around full circle for these guys. It's amazing to watch. And, you know, having been there, having won it, I'm still jealous of the guys that get to go play. It is such an honor and such a joy for these guys to get there. And I can't help but think back to what Jeff Nelson said in our pregame about you get to the World Series, you're almost relaxed because that's what you expected to do. And now you're there and you get to enjoy every moment of it.
Well, Kike Hernandez goes out, hits an NLCS record, 3 home runs in the clincher. And I think that's just apropos because it always seems to be somebody else. You know, this is a team that just won the NLCS in 5 games without possibly their best player. I mean, yeah, Cody Bellinger's had an amazing year. And maybe he was their best player this year, but I think Corey Seager is probably the most talented out of all of them. And they didn't even miss a beat without him. That's how deep and talented this team is. That's why Kike Hernandez would be in a lineup tonight. Of course, they're facing a lefty, so he probably would have been in there anyways. But man, the Dodgers, just the most complete team in the playoffs, and I think should be favored over either team that will be representing the American League.
No, I completely agree. And it's kind of funny, you know, being in the American League and watching a lot of the ball clubs over here and just kind of sporadically looking at the National League, you know, you kind of take for granted. You'd expect some of these National League teams to have better benches, but all we've heard all year long, or at least I've heard all year long, and I know I follow them and call their games, but everybody said 1 through 9, the Houston Astros are the deepest lineup in the big leagues, in the American League. They've got great guys coming off the bench. Evan Gattis, who led the team in home runs last year, was on their bench. Marwin Gonzalez was supposed to be on their bench, ended up being their RBI leader. But I agree with you that the Los Angeles Dodgers, for me, and I know I haven't paid as close attention as some people have, but the Dodgers, for me, do have that extremely deep lineup. And it's unique in the National League that Dave Roberts is able to use a roster like this because of what you said about a left-handed pitcher being on the mound. The left-handed pitcher being on the mound allowed him to get Kike Hernandez into left field, but also pushed Chris Taylor from shortstop into center field and got Culberson on the field because they're right-handed bats. He wanted to get Jock Peterson out of there, Curtis Granderson out of there, because they're left-handed bats against Quintana. So these right-handed hitters get in there, and you could almost argue that they got better defensively. Chris Taylor's played a phenomenal center field, having never played center field until this season. Culberson spent almost the entire season in AAA playing shortstop. He came up with some stellar plays, even the one to finish off the game with that line drive. But these guys are a well-rounded ball club, and when you have a manager that's able to move these guys in and out of the rotation or in and out of the lineup and put them in certain spots, you get everybody playing together. Nobody's feelings are hurt because they all understand that they have a role and an opportunity if and when that lefty gets on the mound or in certain matchups. So, you know, kudos to those guys playing for Dave Roberts, and kudos to Dave Roberts for pushing the right buttons to get them to the World Series.
Yeah, and here's how interesting things happen in Major League Baseball. They come into this season, Bellinger's on the radar, but when he gets called up, he's coming up for 1 week. You remember that?
Yep.
Cody Bellinger's going to be up for 1 week. Well, Cody Bellinger sets the world on fire, and then it's like, all right, we'll keep him up for another week, and he never went back down. You've got Chris Taylor, who came up. He's just a guy that they're using in a utility role who can just happen to hit left-handed pitching, because if you don't remember going back to last year, and even the first month of this season, the Dodgers had some major concerns how they were going to hit left-handed pitching. Left-handed pitching owned them. And then you fast forward tonight. They're facing a left-handed starter. They end up winning 9-1. They absolutely smoked a left-hander. And Chris Taylor, a guy that, you know, was a fringe player on this team, probably was not going to be counted on for much of an impact. And then Kike Hernandez, nothing more than a utility guy, a guy they have on the roster because he can hit left-handed pitching. Well, those guys end up playing massive roles, and Cody Bellinger as well. It really is amazing how everything has come together at the right time for the Dodgers, and you need some of that if you're going to win a World Series.
No, you definitely have to have some of that magic. You got to have some of that timing. Who knows? Maybe losing that game last night ticked them off a little bit too. They're a good ball club. And I want to take an opportunity to give Turner Ward some props too, because he is the LA Dodgers hitting coach. And it seems like, I'm not sure what his philosophy is, just because I haven't had a chance to be around the guy and really talk to him about hitting and what his philosophy is as far as, you know, attacking the swing. But he has done such a good job of turning mediocre guys into some phenomenal hitters. A lot of it has to do with the analytics. A lot of it has to do with the information that guys get because you're relying on tendencies. You're relying on your own experience. Turner Ward's relying on some of his limited big league experience. But he also has to be a psychologist with these guys and understand what he can say to motivate these guys without, you know, crushing egos or keeping them, if they're on that upward swing and in a good groove, how to keep them in that groove. That's the biggest thing. But he has found a way to connect. You mentioned Yasiel Puig possibly being the NLCS MVP. Yasiel Puig was an afterthought last year. This year, he is a main part. He's hitting four-hole for the Los Angeles Dodgers going to the World Series. So Dave Roberts did a good job of wrangling in that enthusiasm that pours out of Yasiel Puig every time he goes out there. And then Turner Ward, it seems like that relationship has really blossomed, and Turner Ward's found a way to really communicate the game of baseball to Yasiel Puig, who's been a major cog in that lineup for these guys. So Turner Ward, congratulations to you for getting some of these guys to perform. And in order to get to the World Series, you got to have some guys maybe overachieve a little bit, and he's gotten the max effort from everybody in that lineup.
Yeah, and I'll go right back to the well with Coach. Last year, Dave Roberts proved a lot. And he was the guy that really started now what we're calling bullpenning. But he would bring in Kenley Jansen for six outs at a time. And, you know, Frank Kona did the same thing. And now it seems like everybody's doing it. And most of these managers have had horrible postseasons because they've tried to do it and they don't have the personnel to do it, or they're pulling the trigger at the wrong time. Well, Dave Roberts has just been masterful. And, you know, I remember being at Dodgers camp in spring training, and he had the issue with his father, and I'm sure he's thinking of him right now and everything he's meant to him, winning a World Series as a player, but now having a chance to win a World Series as a manager, getting Yasiel Puig to buy in. I mean, that's mm-hmm. not an easy thing. Think about what Dave Roberts had to do, too. I mean, Yasiel Puig just recently didn't show up for batting practice, an optional batting practice that they wanted him to show up for. That could have been a big distraction, but no. Ultimately, he kept him in check. So I'm glad you brought up Turner Ward. I'm going to bring up Dave Roberts, and I think the rest of the country will realize how great of a manager he is now that they'll get to see him on the big stage. And my goodness, if it's the Yankees and the Dodgers, a lot of people are going to be watching this thing. The top two markets, that is Major League Baseball's wet dream right there. Can you think about that? The amount of viewership with the Dodgers and the Yankees? Oh, my goodness. And I know you're rooting for the Astros, and I don't blame you. You work for the Astros, but wow. There's going to be a lot of people, a lot of eyes on Dave Roberts, and he's going to go down as one of the handful of top managers in the game, the way I see it. I still think Frank Kona is the best, but Roberts is absolutely skyrocketing up the list.
Yeah, it's been great to watch him mature. I was teammates with him in San Diego, got to know him extremely well, both being Southern California guys. I have played against Dave Roberts back in 1992, so we have got some history in the pack, or the six-pack at the time. Now it's the Pac-12. But he is a great guy. He's always one of those guys that was always uplifting in the clubhouse, had a great spirit about him, a great personality, understood the game. I didn't know if you asked me at the time if I thought Dave Roberts was going to be a manager, I would have said maybe not, because he's such a good family guy, and I would have thought he would have exhausted all of his efforts in the big leagues and then said, hey, I'm going to go home, I'm going to nurture the family and watch my kids grow. But he saw an opportunity, and you know the Dodgers are extremely thankful for it. In talking about the bullpenning situation with Dave Roberts, what I like is that he did it last year, didn't get to the World Series, but he had some limited success with it, and he got together with the front office, with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and said, hey, how do I go about doing this? We are good enough to win the Western Division. I need guys that are going to be in that bullpen, and they're going to get me into that World Series when I make a decision to go out there and go to the bullpen. And they did a good job of stockpiling some guys out there in that bullpen for him to go out there and do that. So he's a well-rounded guy. He's been around the game as a player. He understands the psyche of the player, but he also works well with the front office in explaining what he needs to make his team better.
All right, again, Dodgers 11, Cubs 1. Dodgers win the NLCS in five games over the Chicago Cubs. We can get to the Cubs here in just a little bit, but let's keep it with the team that's going to go and try and be the world champions. They will represent the National League, and tonight it's throw like a pro night, so let's throw like a pro and talk about this Dodgers bullpen.
It's time for Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. This is where we take a moment to spotlight individuals, key late game situations, or entire bullpens to open up for discussion. Go National, go like a pro.
Well, let's talk about this Dodgers bullpen. Plummer, Major League playoff record, 17 shutout innings. Here's what they did against the Cubs. 17 strikeouts, one walk, and three hits. Just go repeat this again. 17 shutout innings, 17 Ks, one walk, and three hits. And tonight, Kenta Maeda goes out there, strikes out a pair. Brandon Morrow, who has come on and maybe been their second most important pitcher in the bullpen, because he's burst on the scene. Guy that had diabetes, could not stay healthy, could not stay on the field. And finally, the Dodgers said, you know what? You can throw 95. Let's put you in the bullpen. He's been a wonderful setup man for a guy that you compared to Mariano Rivera, Kenley Jansen, who is perfect tonight. This bullpen is something else.
They are something else, and it really feel like, going back to Dave Roberts, he's helped these guys understand what their situations are going to be. Cingrani, a lefty out there. Tony Watson, a lefty out there. But like you said, he's actually got a couple of guys that are throwing the ball extremely well, and it's a matter of them finding – you know, that pocket or that position in the lineup where they're going to be successful, or that portion of the game where they're going to be successful. Ball players are very routine oriented, and this day and age in the bullpen, I can't imagine you're going to be very routine oriented, especially in the playoffs. You've got to be ready. So a lot of credit to Josh Bard out there in working with the guys in the bullpen, getting them prepared when they come in. I think a lot of how you take some of the edge off and getting these guys in some pressure situations is giving them all the information before they need it. So there's a certain amount of communication between the manager to the pitching coach to the bullpen coach, and these Astros really have it. I mean, not the Astros, I apologize. The Dodgers really have this going on, from Rick Honeycutt to Josh Bard out there in the bullpen. And what these guys want to know, they want to know who they're facing, who they could face. So a lot of these guys in the bullpen, much like guys who sit on the bench and have potential for pinch hit or double switch, you kind of have to be managers in your own mind and look forward in the game and see where that position might come up for you. And it was a little bit different tonight because of the big lead with Kike Hernandez going off. So they understood that Clayton Kershaw was not going to go the 7 or 8 innings they anticipated in a tight ball game. They got him out of there in the 6th. Kenta Maeda comes in there, does a phenomenal job. And like we saw Kenley Jansen come in and shut the door, which I thought was beautiful, just to have him out there in order to get that last out to celebrate before they get to the World Series. So understanding the routine is one thing, but these guys are fully committed to the process that Dave Roberts has put in front of them. These guys are dealing.
And it's not just Kenley Jansen. Again, maybe the best closer in the game, maybe, but I think Morrow has stepped up as the setup man. That's extraordinarily important. Watson can take care of business from the left side. Stripling, Josh Fields, Tony Cingrani. And then I think the most interesting guy in all this is Kenta Maeda, and how he's taken to going into the bullpen and throwing an inning or two here and there in long relief. So this guy has thrown – he's been a starter his whole career with the Dodgers, and now they throw him into the bullpen, and – I'm impressed. I'm impressed that he's been able to pick this up so quickly. He's a 29-year-old right-hander from Japan, came over, and he's been another important cog. I can't imagine that they're going to continue to be sterling and perfect like this. He'll be facing some American League lineups coming up, but between what these starters did for the Dodgers in the bullpen against the Cubs offense, which really did struggle this whole playoffs. They had that one game against the Nationals, which was wacky, and I think they scored 9 runs in that Game 5 victory. Yeah, the Cubs offense struggled, but you got to put a lot of that on these arms for the Dodgers bullpen. So, again, congratulations to them. 17 shutout innings. Major League Baseball playoff record. 17 Ks, 1 walk, 3 hits. And they're going to be going at it here in the 113th World Series starting Tuesday, October 24th. And I'll also say this. You know, if the Astros get in there, the Astros have some major bullpen issues, as we have seen. The Yankees, they're known for their great bullpen. Right now, the Dodgers have a better bullpen than them because they're not giving up any runs. I mean, think about it. If it is the Yankees and the Dodgers, right? And there's that ALCS is far away from being wrapped up at this point. But if it is those two, I got to give the edge to the Dodgers in the bullpen right now.
I would. And if you've got to go on what have you done for me lately, and there is not a weakness right now in Dave Roberts and the Dodgers bullpen. You stated it plain and simple against a very good hitting team, a World Series defending team in the Chicago Cubs. They have been in this position. They have gotten through this position and beaten the best of the best to be declared the best, and they went up against that bullpen with a couple of opportunities and failed. So I give a lot of credit to that bullpen, but at the same time, that bullpen maybe needs a little more credit because they did face the Chicago Cubs. You can be in a slump, but these guys have been proven warriors as far as the Cubs are concerned, and they came up short. It was matchups. I like how you mentioned a couple of those names, the Striplings, the Josh Fields. Maeda's been in a couple interesting spots. But the way, Dave Roberts, if he's not comfortable with these guys going more than one hitter, he's not afraid to go out there and let a Josh Fields try and blow the doors off a right-handed hitter. And when he does, he immediately gets him out of there. I think there's a lot to be said for the ability to understand that guys are only going to give you their max effort for one hitter. And Dave Roberts has a really good handle on what these guys are doing. But if the Astros get to the World Series, bullpen definitely favors the Dodgers. If the Yankees get in, they have a strong bullpen, but not nearly what we're seeing from the Dodgers.
All right, my friends, that was Throw Like a Pro.
That was Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
So, again, it'll be Game 1 of the 113th World Series Tuesday, October 24th at Dodger Stadium. They have the home field advantage over the Yankees and the Astros. We'll come back and get you the MVP of the NLCS next.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. Tomorrow's headlines before they go to print.
I've just been handed some great reporting.
Tomorrow's questions before anyone's asked them.
Could you make an obstruction case?
Tomorrow's conversation tonight.
Who is there to stand up to the boss and speak truth to power?
Not a single person.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. More than the day that was, it's the day that will be. Weeknights at 11 Eastern on MSNBC.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Jeff Blum.
Yep, it's not 108 years like it was last year, but 29 ain't bad. And 1988 and now 2017, Holden Kushner, Jeff Blum, MLB at the Plate postgame show here as the Dodgers just ripped the Cubs tonight, 11-1. They head on to the World Series after beating the Cubs in five games. Man, what a shelling that the Dodgers put on the Cubs tonight. Let's talk about Clayton Kershaw here, Blummer, because he's going to head into the World Series on a pretty high note. It'll be his first World Series. Six innings, three hits, a run, and five strikeouts for Kershaw. I think this was a nice little building block for him to get to the pinnacle of the sport and maybe put on a spectacle so everybody stops talking about his postseason failures, because he's got a 2.45 ERA right now in the 2017 postseason.
Yeah, it was pretty good. He needed it. He's got the right guys around him. I thought he was effective early on. He was very good to arm side and glove side. The interesting thing for me was some of these left-handed hitters for the Chicago Cubs in this lineup. Obviously, Rizzo is one of the bigger guys in that lineup. I wanted to see how he attacked him. Rizzo's a guy that's really on top of the plate. And I wanted to see if Clayton Kershaw had the command to be able to get to that arm side, which is the inside corner to left-handed hitters. And he did a great job, because in order to establish that slider and that curveball away to those left-handed hitters and keep them from diving out over the plate to try and get underneath that and drive that ball, you got to own the inside part of the plate. And he did. He did a great job of executing the fastball when he wanted to and when he needed to. The curveball was good for me. I didn't see too many fluttering up in the zone. There was a couple that did stay up, but he actually got the guys took it, and they took it for a strike, which was good news. But when he needed to get the ball down, he did get the ball down. And there was a couple of interesting spots in there when we saw Rick Honeycutt come out to the mound and have a conversation. It was during a point in the game when a couple of things were happening. A pinch hitter was announced. So you might expect Rick Honeycutt to go out there and give a little bit of a scouting report. But at the same time, right before that, some of the highlights that I saw showed Clayton Kershaw wincing. I'm not sure if anybody's going to ask him about that or if we're going to find out what was going on exactly. But there was a little bit of concern in my head about that because of the back issue we had earlier in the season. But he was effective down in the zone. And, I mean, what a blessing for his offense to go out there and put up runs early on the road. Because what that does is when you go out and you're pitching on the road and you're trying to establish yourself, you're trying to take the crowd out of it. And the last thing you want to do is see the home offense get on the board or put a couple of hard hits together and start getting that crowd into a frenzy. But with the Dodgers scoring first, I think really had an opportunity to take that crowd out of it. And it was all Clayton Kershaw from there, vintage stuff. And he knew after that big lead that they got with the five runs in the fourth or fifth inning that he was in cruise control from there.
Yeah, he was spectacular. And we also have the MVP announced here, the NLCS MVP, and it's MVPs, co-MVPs, Justin Turner and Chris Taylor, the MVPs, Blummer. Turner, 333, 667 slugging, at four singles, couple of homers, five walks, and 23 plate appearances. He had that big walk-off three-run blast off of Lackey in Game 2. Taylor hit 316 with a 789 slugging. He had two home runs, a triple, a double, and two singles, five walks, and 24 plate appearances. So both of these guys, no Yasiel Puig, but man, Turner and Taylor both getting co-MVP. It's only fitting for this team because it is not one guy doing the damage. It's just death by nine different lineup spots. I can't wait to see this team in a World Series in the American League ballpark and see what they do with nine batters.
That's going to be the fun part. I'm sure that's what Dave Roberts has been talking about. Who is going to be their designated hitter? It's going to be interesting with some of the guys they have on the bench. I think what makes it even more curious for me is Andre Ethier had himself a pretty good series, drove a ball out of the ballpark in Wrigley Field, maybe losing a step, losing a step out there in the outfield, but still swings a pretty good bat and can put a good AB on you. Chase Utley's an interesting candidate, doesn't have the range at second base, so you can use Logan Forsyth at second base, and you can put Utley in the DH spot. So there is going to be an opportunity for Dave Roberts to manipulate that roster to get the best defense and add a bat to it when they travel on the road in that American League ballpark.
Well, let's talk about the two teams. They're going to face one of the two teams over in the American League and how they match up with them. And we'll start with the Astros since you're very close to that situation. And former Astro Kike Hernandez with three home runs tonight. That'll be interesting. But, you look at the starting pitching, the Dodgers, it's so deep. The bullpen, it's so deep. The only edge I think that the Astros, well, there's two things working here. You'd have Kershaw and Hill and whoever else you want to throw, Yu Darvish, against Keuchel and Verlander. So the Dodgers' rotation is deeper. Their bullpen is obviously superior. The one advantage I think that the Astros could have, well, maybe in those two games or the four games or even five where Verlander and Keuchel are going, but maybe the lineup could be a little bit deeper than the Dodgers. What do you think about the two lineups there?
I think the lineup is a little bit deeper for the Houston Astros if they are going well. They need to snap out of this funk they're in. I would be a little bit worried if I was a Dodger fan and I see these last two games in Houston go Houston's way in a big way if they actually start putting up some numbers and kind of get that swagger, that confidence back, so to speak, and really start swinging the bats because it's going to be tough. When pitchers are in the zone, that lineup is dangerous, and what that lineup does very good is control the strike zone by laying off pitches out of the zone. The one thing that is interesting to me is that two of the three guys that you can guarantee in that first three rotation spots for the Los Angeles Dodgers is Rich Hill and Clayton Kershaw. They are both left-handed pitchers. The Astros have not fared well against left-handed pitching. We saw what C.C. Sabathia did to them in New York. It's a little concerning because when you flip a guy like Marwin Gonzalez from the left side to the right side, he's not as good. It's just a matter of and the amount of ABs he gets as a right-handed hitter, so he's not as good as a right-handed hitter, but he will be in that lineup. And then you have the issue behind home plate, Brian McCann or Evan Gattis. Evan Gattis is going to be the better hitter, but defensively he is seriously lacking. I have severe concerns about Evan Gattis catching in a World Series game if it gets to that point. He's not as good as Brian McCann. I think Gattis can call a relatively decent game because of all the scouting reports that are out there, but I just worry about the pitch framing, staying quiet behind home plate in order to get some of those calls. I really didn't see that in the start he had with Charlie Morton, and I'm not sure if that led to some of the command issues we saw from Charlie, but I would like to see somebody with Charlie Morton that can actually handle some of the stuff he's bringing in there. He's not an easy guy to catch, and Brian McCann might be forced into a situation, especially if it's a Clayton Kershaw, Justin Verlander matchup. You're going to have to go left on left with Brian McCann in that lineup. And then Carlos Beltran, who has been a staple at that DH spot, he does not hit very good right-handed either. And I think A.J. Hinch has as much said that Carlos Beltran is a left-handed hitter in his on his roster. So that'll put Evan Gattis into that DH role, and hopefully that works out. But there's going to be some fluctuation in that lineup for A.J. Hinch with the left-handed pitching. If they are on and they are doing a good job and picking each other up, because there's going to be opportunities for Dodger pitching to pitch around the Altuves and the Correas. It's what those complementary guys behind them can do with runners on base. If they do damage, then it's going to be a rough series.
Yeah, and I don't think that either it would be any surprise to anybody when I say that whichever team that the Dodgers face, it will be the best team that they face in the playoffs by far. I mean, the Diamondbacks were flawed. The Cubs were major flawed. They should not have gotten past the Nationals. I think that says a lot about the Nationals and how much they underachieved in that series. But the Cubs were a very, very flawed team, did not have a bullpen. But the thing that really stood out was the pitching shutting down Bryant Rizzo. You know, solo home run by Bryant tonight. Besides for that, those two guys were really quiet during this series. Let's move on to the Yankees side then. If it's the Yankees and the Dodgers, first of all, that's massive television ratings. Everybody wants that in the New York offices. But is that the best matchup? Now, the Yankees pitchers to this point, Tanaka has been lights out, especially in the ALCS. Sabathia's kind of had a resurgence in his career. So you've got that. We'll see how Severino does in game number six and where he's at this point. The bullpens, the Dodgers have been better so far. I think on paper, I would even put a little edge to the Yankees, just on paper. But if you just look at performance to this point, it has been the Dodgers. And then offensively, wow, that to me is the big question. Who has the better offense, the Yankees or the Dodgers?
It depends. If the Yankees are not absolutely tearing the cover off the ball, they're a very interesting offense in the sense that, you know, this three true outcomes that we keep hearing about with the walks, the strikeouts, and the home runs, that is the New York Yankees. They are not going to go out and dazzle you by putting up, you know, electric numbers as far as batting average is concerned. In this postseason, hitting .259 as a team. Nothing great, but they're still driving in runs. And the way they do that is by hitting home runs. They have hit 8 home runs in the playoffs. They've hit twice as many as the next competitor, which is the Los Angeles Dodgers have a couple more or 3 more added on. So now the Dodgers have caught up and they've got 7 with Kike going yard. But the Yankees, if you can find their weakness and execute your pitches, you will beat them. We saw the Astros do that in the first 2 games of the championship series. Granted, it was Keuchel and Verlander, 2 very good pitchers, 1 left-handed, 1 right-handed, but they went out with a game plan and matched up incredibly nice because they were executing pitches and creating soft contact early on. Dallas Keuchel is not a guy that punches out a lot of guys. He punched out 10 in his start. So that tells me that when you are executing, you can get these guys out. There's tons of weaknesses in that lineup and in these swings for the New York Yankees, but, and that's that's a big but. If you leave stuff out over the plate, there is going to be major damage done, namely starting with Aaron Judge.
Well, that, again, I say this, that he is the straw that stirs the drink, you know, 40 years after Reggie did it. If Judge is hitting, that team scoring runs. If he's not, it's a lot easier to navigate through that offense, and they are so very reliant on him. I know it's easy to look at lineup and say, oh, there's so much other talent. Just dig into it, look at it. When he's hitting, that's when they score. When he's not, they don't score. All right, let's move on. We got our best day ever. We got our home run tracker. We got statistically speaking, and since it's best day, you and I will both pick out the pitcher and the hitter, so we will start with best day.
Best day ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
We're going Kershaw, right?
I guess.
And who else? You're not going Quintana. Clayton Kershaw.
That is correct.
Or we could just go cumulative. You know what? We can go cumulative with the Dodgers bullpen. Well, you want to go Kershaw or the bullpen?
I can pick Brandon Morrow. I thought he did a great job. He only pitched an inning and punched out everybody he saw except for 1 hit.
Yeah, but he gave up a hit. You know, that's 3 come on, the Dodgers bullpen, 17 shutout innings. They only gave up 3 hits the whole time. So, you know, a little disappointing with that. But no, Clayton Kershaw, 6 innings, 3 hits, a run, 5 Ks. The guy has been maligned for his playoff failures to this point. But it's been a successful playoffs for him to this point. On to the offense. It's Kike. I mean, come on. 3-for-4, 7 RBIs, 3 home runs. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, as Jose Altuve, says, he goes, that's pretty good.
You know, that also, you talk about 2 guys now in the same playoffs have 3 home run games. You think the ball's juice? Neither one of those guys is even sniffing 6 feet tall. I'm telling you that now. Kike's listed at 5'11". He's about 5'8 and a half at most.
At most, yeah. Trust me. I've seen him in person, and Holden is right.
Yeah, there's at most. All right, home run tracker, because I think it's a lot of Kike Hernandez. Is that correct?
MLB at the plate home run tracker.
Yeah, because Kike with those three home runs and a clincher. I mean, this is just remarkable. Three home runs and an NLCS. Kike Hernandez writing his name in the record books after really a night for the ages. And congratulations to him. They're showing him on TV, and he really did look like, you know, what did I do? I can't believe this is happening. His first went 309, his second went 390, and his third went 377. Highest exit velo was 103 on the 390-foot blast. Chris Bryant hit one too, 368 feet. Let's look deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
So, Blummer, this is Clayton Kershaw's third career appearance at a potential clincher. And he's now 3-0 in those clinchers. So
we
as
don't
much
hear
as
about
we,
that.
Yeah, as much as we talk about his failures, pretty good, right? That's not bad. Kike Hernandez, fourth Grand Slam in Dodgers playoff history. The other three are James Loney, Dusty Baker, and Ron Say. Dusty and Say did it back in 77. Cody Bellinger, four RBIs this postseason. Most RBI by a Dodgers rookie in the playoffs was Blake DeWitt in 2008. There's a name, Blake DeWitt. The RBI officially became a stat in 1920. So, you know, there's Brooklyn had been in the World Series a few times. And then Kike, three home runs, 11th, and the second this postseason in three home run game history in the playoffs. So 11 total, second this postseason, neither guy sniffing 6 feet. Wow.
Hey, dynamite comes in small packages, man.
You're right. The big payoff here tonight. So let's get some final thoughts on this series here. And we haven't even mentioned the Cubs, who lost tonight. I think for them, they need to completely remake their bullpen. There's no question about that. I don't even know if they bring back Wade Davis. I thought Davis did a fine job this year, but they need to find probably three to four arms. And if they want Carl Edwards Jr. in high leverage situations, it's going to have to be a lot better next year than he was this year. Their rotation, Lester, Hendricks, and then what? You know, there's a lot of questions, so they probably need to bring in three starters. They might have to trade a guy like a Happ, an Ian Happ, to go out and get a starter because their rotation was not nearly as good as the Dodgers. And I think the Nationals, to that point, their offense is going to be just fine. But, you know, the Cubs got a lot of work to do this offseason. That's it for the MLB at the Plate playoff podcast. We're Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio, and Jeff Blum alongside me. I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.